This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Have you been feeling curious about connecting with your spiritual side? Are you having difficulty trusting your intuition? It could be time to test your skepticism and meet with a spiritual medium. Three-Eyed Bob offers personalized, intuitive readings to help you better understand your journey and identify the unseen forces assisting you along the way. As featured on our first episode of this season, Three-Eyed Bob provides a fresh approach to mediumship that focuses on identifying realistic connections to your current life circumstances. Check out threeeyedbob.com for more information about services offered and to book your virtual reading session today. That's threeeyedbob.com, found in our episode notes. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Hannah.
How's your week going?
It was going... Why did I say it was going? It's going well. I got to see you for a pizza movie night with our friend Joanne, who was on our first episode of season one. How was your...
Yeah, it was good. That was fun. And then also breaking news for everybody that probably does not care. So my dad has had the same lawnmower for at least 25 years, if not more. Like, we don't know when he purchased his snapper. I feel like he actually should do commercials because it's just still running. But he purchased a new one today. And he refuses.
Congratulations.
He refuses to. So about 10 years ago, I was laying by the pool with my mom and my dad was mowing the grass, and we like see him. They have like this like retaining wall. It's made with like these like textured brick things. He flew off that wall. Like, we saw his legs go like out, and he was on that lawnmower, and he like went flying in the air on this lawnmower, and he had to like stop mowing, I think, for the day because the lawnmower lost its brakes and he like couldn't control it, and he ended up like flying off the wall. And that was a good 10 years ago, and he still kept this lawnmower and kept using it. And like, my brother was like, I think, because I was like, oh, he should have got a new lawnmower like 10 years ago. And then my brother, he used to mow the grass when he was in high school, and he's like, no, he should have got a new lawnmower when it like mowed unevenly, which would have been like 20 years ago. So it's like, it's a lawnmower that keeps running.
But
it's
a great life.
Yeah, but it's not a lawnmower that has been wonderful. I don't know my dad's attachment, and he didn't get rid of it. He told me, I was like talking to him prior to the podcast, and he's like, he has like this like attic storage. My dad has too many storage buildings, but he has this like storage building that he built for himself. And he's like, I put it in the building, and he was like, what are you going to do?
You said you have too many.
He does. He has too many personal ones. That's the problem when you own storage buildings. You just like, you can get away with being a hoarder. But he was like, so what are you going to do with it when I die? And I was like, I guess, because he put it in a place where it's going to be really hard to get down.
And I was like, throw it out?
No. He's keeping it because he's a hoarder. That's his problem. He has storage to put all his junk. And I was like, I'm going to set the building on fire. That's what I'm going to do. And he was like, that's really mean. And I was like, well, I don't want it.
That's metal, right? So part of it will be alive.
Yeah. Not alive. It's not like I'm setting a living building.
See, I wanted to see that face.
Yeah. But anyway, so this episode is with another West Virginian, and Jay Burke is his name, and he actually contacted us to be on the show, and he knows 3 Out, 2 Up, which we actually interviewed at the end of our second season, so a year ago, because it was in May. Well, I think it may have been May, and now it's April, so almost a year, not quite. And he reached out, wanted to talk, and so he actually went to Marshall, like me, And it's just a really great conversation. And he talks about creating content for brands. And that's actually how he got in contact with 3UP, 2UP, and then found out about us. So it's all coming full circle.
Yes, enjoy.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Jay Burke, and he is going to kind of talk about content creation. And I had it written down, and now I've completely, because I feel like there was one other thing that you wanted. And I don't see it written down, but you have, is it called the Jay Burke Project, your like business and everything?
That's correct. So the Jay Burke Project is a creative platform that I started, which is underneath my business, backed by Jay Burke Media LLC. So it's just a collective essentially underneath my biz.
And I also wanted to say you're originally from West Virginia and you work with 3UP, 2UP with Ansel, who was actually on our podcast last season. And that came out, I think, May 20th of 2021. I like wrote some notes quickly. And thank you. You're not a last minute fill-in because we scheduled you for a while, but we bumped you up. So that's why I feel like I'm a little rushed on the questions. But
absolutely. So yes, born and raised in West Virginia. I grew up in the Upper Kanawha Valley. I went to Cedar Grove Middle School, Riverside High School, and Marshall for college. So Ansel, you mentioned Ansel being a West Virginia clothing brand. I don't know if you wanted me to like dive into how I met him, but it's like super simple but really cool story. It led to a lot, but we were eating at Tricky Fish with my current girlfriend at the time, and Ansel, I didn't know who he was, and he had on these interesting like track pants, and I just had always been into design, and I had said, "Hey, nice pants," and that's all it took. That started our whole friendship. 5 months later, he was contracting me to do media work at Bluefield State College because I didn't know at the time he was the chief marketing officer. And I started doing content for his designs for 3UP, 2UP. And a friendship grew. He started introducing me to people, and it was just with one compliment.
So were you already living in LA, or was that prior to moving?
No, that was prior to moving back in West Virginia.
Oh, wow. So is that kind of how you got started with your business? Was it?
Okay. So it started off as a hobby, just very curious. Right after school, no wife, no kids. I just had like this void I wanted to fill with just something that intrigued me. And I was like, I'm going to get good at this. And my sister thought she was going to be a wedding photographer, and it didn't necessarily work out. So she had this camera, and I took a vacation in Miami, and I wanted to make a vlog. I was like, man, I wonder if I can put a video together. Like, that would be awesome. So to paint the picture, we're talking like 2017, 2018. And I made a vlog, and I watched all the YouTubers to figure out like how to put the videos together. And I was just like hooked. It's like there's not this like crazy story. I was really just like hooked, and I went like down the craziest rabbit hole, and my friends were doing other things on the weekends, and I was like doing camera stuff, and it was like this new world that kind of evolved. And I remember people were asking me to do like paid jobs for them, and on a Wednesday I got a call from a client that I had been shooting for, and I had still had my 9-to-5, and I essentially had told my boss like, hey, you know, I know this is really weird, but I really have somewhere to be. And I got caught between like having to make a decision on what I wanted to do because the business had gone like a lot better than I had imagined. And so I just put all my eggs in my basket to create content for clothing brands and for businesses, both individual and enterprise. And I just rode with it. And I had stopped working at my 9-to-5 in 2020, and here we are.
So did you move during the pandemic?
I was going to ask.
And she beat you to it. I just moved out. You all caught me at a fresh time. I just moved out here approximately 3 months ago.
Oh, wow. Well, that's exciting. So how are you enjoying it so far?
I'm absolutely loving it. I live in East Hollywood, so I live like in the middle of it all.
Do you know Cody
Depp?
He was on last season, or maybe he was on our first season, right when COVID. But he lives in LA. You guys should, and he kind of does a lot of like content creation. He's from West Virginia, so you guys should connect.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to introduce myself to him. There's been a lot of creatives that have originated in West Virginia and now they reside in other places. And I try to connect myself with all of them because...
Yeah, I think it's really... So what made you choose, I guess, LA over, say... I mean, I know like it's plenty of creatives out there and content and all, but there's also New York too. And that's a totally different scene because I did acting and modeling. And I know like the different scenes and stuff, but that's more theater and then that's more Hollywood out there, et cetera. So I was just curious, like... You go back and forth. So
from like a production standpoint, I've always followed a ton of directors, and I had always been influenced by directors and cinematographers that come from Hollywood and end up moving somewhere else. Like I had met some individuals who had started a company out here in LA and then moved to West Virginia, and I had learned. The ins and outs of, you know, how are these such creative people all being pumped out of this area here in Hollywood? Like what I have to, you know, experience that. And so to answer your question, I just thought that I would like to go south more than north because I like the warm weather and I like the beach. And
I was about to ask you the warm weather, right?
Right. And I have to plug in my computer. It is plugged in. Give me just one second.
Okay. All right, so take two of this interview. All right, so you were talking about like kind of moving to LA, so you're within like your 3-month period of, you know, freshly moving, and you moved out there because you saw people in West Virginia that actually came from California, and you wanted to know what it was like they were creating things and the content. And so were you on TikTok prior to that? And then you started doing.
Yeah, I had made a TikTok page where I had collaborated with a group of models. That was like the initial reason for the page. And I had made like a little spam page, but I had done some TikToks back at home before I moved out here for sure.
Yeah. And then that's kind of leads into the conversation with Leah Messer. Is that her name? Leah Messer? With Leah Messer and kind of getting, you had a viral TikTok with her.
Right. So I was a content creator for her for a decent amount of time when I had lived back in West Virginia.
We
became really good friends over the course of me filming her and, you know, being around her kids, meeting her family. We just became great friends. And one day I was like, yeah, we should do this TikTok. Like we're both like fit. And I think, you know, I just think it'd be great. So it was the one where I essentially like laid down and she had tried to, we'd see if we could have made it to the top with me standing up with her balancing on my back. And that I didn't know it was like going to go viral. I mean, she has a lot of followers, but like I just wanted to do it just to do it. And I was like, we should throw it up on your page. Like, I don't have that many followers, but yeah. So I woke up and like, I had a lot of followers and they had all like scattered to all over my socials. And it was hilarious. And I found myself in an article and I was like, what is all this? This is crazy.
You felt a little famous. There's like your 15 minutes, or maybe you're still experiencing it, or you've not yet. I don't want to downplay 15 it.
15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. Or like your 3-minute TikTok video of fame. Since that.
That's funny.
All right. So I saw that you are adopted and you seem like very open with your story. So do you want to kind of talk a little bit about that and how like your adoption went, like how you found out, or just like anything you want to tell to other people that maybe are adopted?
Yeah. How it maybe influenced you into who you are today too. And
right. I can honestly, I'm a big advocate for, you know, the fact that I was adopted and being able to help other people who were adopted. And I remember when I was very young, my mother, my adoptive mother, used to take me to these camps that other adopted kids had went to. And it was interesting. You know, being adopted is interesting within itself. Fortunately for me, I was only 3 when I was adopted, so I don't remember anything prior to my mother and my adopted mother and father. So it was pretty normal, other than the fact that both of my parents were Caucasian. So growing up, it was just unique because I would invite a friend over and they would say, hey, not to be like, you know, curious or anything, but like, both your parents are white. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I was adopted. It's a crazy story, right? But absolutely love my family. And I wouldn't be, honestly, wouldn't want it any other way because it's my only life I've ever known. And I don't know if I would be who I am if I wasn't adopted, especially hearing my mother like tell the story. If she would tell you the story, you'd probably cry just because of like, I don't know. It's just a very genuine story. And yeah, and it's made me who I am today. It's brought us like very close, brought me and my family very close. And it's made me who I am. So
what's really funny is we recently had an adoption lawyer come on and kind of talk about like Scott Briscoe. So he came on about talking about like the inspirational stories of like, you know, kids in the foster care and then they become adopted and things like that. So it kind of ties in. We have like a little theme these past couple episodes. Well, that's really cool. Anyway, just to segue, I feel like we're kind of like off. I'm trying to remember what we even talked about before. So you, before moving to LA, you already had like a pretty successful content creation. Like, do you want to kind of talk about that process, what you do when you get a client and things?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd just like to take this time, you know, for anyone that's listening or anyone that is in my position or wants to maybe do what I do. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, the different aspects of being a photographer and a videographer and a content creator and how to market yourself and what route you decide to go is so important. And being from West Virginia, not being like a media hub in regards to LA or New York, our influence is external. I was influenced by famous photographers that didn't live in West Virginia. And you find yourself doing something in West Virginia that's not commonly done, whether it's creating content for yourself or content for businesses. It's not, you don't, I didn't pass many other people on the street holding a camera saying, hey, I'm a content creator. Like that when I was younger was an external vision that something that I was like interested in. I'm like, wow, like, you know, this is crazy, like to have this angle of providing this service for a business, but on a personal level, whether it's like you doing it or you creating that content with someone else to give to the brand so they can market for their business. And it's like when I started thinking in terms of that, like flow from Progressive, right? Like every business, every small business right now needs a flow because she's the face of their business and it works well. And I just encourage people that know how to take photos and videos and aren't camera shy to call themselves content creators to provide that service to small brands. And that's something that I really honed in on at home. And I think it really, really helped me.
So how many clients do you have? Too many to count.
I wouldn't say too many to count, but I have a decent amount of retainers. I would say monthly retainers. That's about 15. And when you talk about a retainer, you're meeting up 2 to 3 times a week. So I have clients like that. I have a lot of seasonal clients. I'll be flying back to West Virginia several times this year for some weddings. I filmed 19 weddings last summer in West Virginia. Wow. So that'll be a new change of pace for me, because I want.
How does your sister feel about that, since that's what she wanted to do? Sorry to interrupt.
Right? Like, you took the camera. That's.
So it actually is. I wish Sarah was on here because it actually is really interesting. Just the other day, she had asked me like for advice about a camera, but she knows, she knows. She went, came and watched me film a wedding once. She just to watch me film because she is like so proud of me that, like, thankfully she had bought this camera that she ended up not using, because had I not begged her to use it and essentially took it from her, and like she's like, give me
it was camera. All about her. She did it. She did it. She made who you were. That's it.
Literally. Right. I don't remember if I was able to afford one at the time, and I just remember like begging her. I said, can I take this to Miami, please? And she let me. And you know what's crazy? I actually ended up breaking that camera like a year later. I had gotten
not in Miami though.
I was going to say, in Miami? Really?
So I had
and you're a photographer?
Right. I had just gotten back from Miami for the second time, and I left it on the top of my car. But I have it as a collection now. It's just in the camera body collection.
So what's your process of filming a wedding? And do you film many in California, or is it mostly West Virginia right now?
So it's all new to me. Things have changed. I have had to position myself a little differently out here as opposed to there, because, you know, I had been marketing myself there, so it had all set up. But yes, I do have some wedding contracts here lined up for late summer. It's still a little cold here at times, so like we're just now creeping into wedding season. So I do plan to do some here, but I also want to leave very popular wedding dates home open, because I still get a lot of inquiries, and I want to use those reasons to go home, because I don't, if not, I may not find myself home as much, and I like my family, so I need some reasons to film a few weddings a year there. So
yeah. So how do you go about it? Is it just you, or does Sarah help you ever, or like, because I know a lot of times weddings will have like two videographers, so that way they can get all the angles. Weddings make me nervous. Photography was my minor, and people would ask me to do their wedding, and I'm like, no, I'll pass, because if you mess up, you it's forever. You can't recreate the moment.
Right. So really quickly, you asked me about you asked me about my sister. She's not necessarily mad because I don't do any. I said photography because I don't do any wedding photography. It's only video. She was trying to do photography, and I'm primarily do videography. But to answer your question, I always have looked at how we do our weddings. It's always been from a business standpoint, whether I'm getting contracted directly or that's a client that had shot me an inquiry directly to film. And if I need to bring on someone else to help, I can contract them. But a part of my business is being a vendor. So most of my weddings, I had been contracted as a second shooter, for example, for a larger wedding company. But I would still be I would still be there, do my part. Or it would be simpler than that, where they would essentially contract me as the only videographer there to go and shoot. And I had traveled to Pennsylvania last year to do a wedding, highly requested. The person who edits all of our stuff for his business, we were highly requested as a vendor for them. So I was like, sure, I'll do it. And we just kept on getting inquiries one after another.
No, that's exciting. Where at in Pennsylvania? Just out of curiosity.
It was near Allentown.
Okay. Right near Lancaster.
Yeah.
Right.
My friend actually lives in Bethlehem, and she used to live in Allentown. And so Bethlehem's like the border places.
Yeah, because I went to college there. That's why I was
It is a small world. It is a small world. But I wanted to touch really quickly on you just asked how what's that process, what's that setup look like? But really it really just starts with when you know you have a wedding that week, it's important to go over all the information that you have, because we send a survey out to our client before we even book. That way we match to see, we want to see if we're a good match, right? See if we're a good fit as a vendor. They kick us back the questionnaire, and that's kind of like our blueprint on how we can service them for their big day. And up until the point of the wedding, we just, especially day before, make sure all the equipment is charged. We have all the memory space we need, because there's only two things that can kill you in this game, and that's no batteries and no place to store the footage. If you can tackle
Does someone whose computer died during this interview,
right?
Just to point out.
Let's just point all of this out.
But like, did you notice I wasn't freaking out because I've just been in that position?
You were so composed. You were so composed. Everybody, he was so composed. I swear.
So
you didn't have a backup plan, didn't Jay?
No. But, you know, as far as a wedding day, James and I do take what we do very seriously, and we treat it like a football game. We go in and we scout the location out and make sure we know, okay, James, I know we saw it on the computer, but now that we're here, we need to make sure, you know, we place our cameras here and here, and we have to go introduce ourselves to the bride and groom. You know, hi, my name is Justin. I'm going to be a part of your big day. And there's just a lot that goes into it, and we really try to treat it like it's the biggest football game of our lives, even though it's the biggest day of their lives.
Any strange requests from a bride and groom that you can tell?
I don't think so. No, every couple that I've ever shot, I've been really happy with, and it's awesome because where I'm a part of their big day, it's like we turn into like great friends, and I get to keep up with, you know, I get to keep up with them. You know, it's not like a one and done. And I really like that. And I've met a lot of friends filming weddings.
And I guess you get to kind of see the different venues too, like throughout West Virginia. And do you stay local to like the Charleston area, or do you go throughout West Virginia?
It's more like tri-state at this point.
Oh, what's your favorite venue? Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say my last wedding was in Lexington before I had came out here. So that, I guess I would say it's tri-state for that reason.
So any Ohio? Well, I guess Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky. Now you need to get Ohio.
One of my favorite weddings was at the Bob Evans Farm in Ohio last summer.
Oh, yeah.
That was for...
down on the farm.
Right. The headquarters there, that was for Morgan Siders. And it was interesting. She had contacted me because I had filmed her sister's wedding. And she was like, I absolutely love what you do. Here's where we're getting married. Please come film us. And I was like, awesome. So when I went to film them, it was more like family because I had met all the same people at her sister's wedding, like the same pastor, the same, you know, all their families were the same because it was her sister. And it was a really cool experience. Like, hey, I remember you. I was like, I remember you too.
I used to go, I don't know if you ever did, but when we were in grade school, we used to go to the Bob Evans farm. Like they would have like kids functions and stuff and like the hay maze and pig calling. And did you ever do that?
I didn't, but I do remember people, certain schools doing that. I do remember that.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Boone County, but we would go. But anyway, so like, how have you found clients in California? Or have you? I assume you have.
I have. My career had, as planned, my career had kind of shifted once I had moved out here. I wanted to work more on individual, like small business brands out here and providing the content creation and media services, especially remote. You know, the biggest perk of what I do is where I can be and the service that I can provide. So right now I'm shooting a lot of content for Fortitude Apparel LLC out here. And it was just off one simple email. And that's all it took to start a good relationship with this clothing brand. And they had posted me, and a couple other clothing brands had reached out to me. So I'm working on that heavy, along with taking cinematography and production assistant jobs out here when available, so I can get more experience on, like, I guess you would say, the Hollywood side of things.
Yeah. So Cody, he does some PA work. The guy, I sent you his information on Instagram. I can only find his Facebook though, but I sent you his like Facebook, so you can like reach out, fellow West Virginian.
And there's a really weird way. It's not weird, but it's something that's kind of worked out for me. Is when I moved out here, I want people to understand that there was never like a pipe dream or something for me to go out here and fulfill my dream. It's really about building on to what I have already started. And, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So I really haven't, I haven't rushed to meet all the people I need to meet and to work with all the businesses that I can right away, because I had like been almost burnt out before I had moved. So when I got here, I wanted to enjoy my home, my new home, because it is my home. And the last thing I wanted to do was come out here and just do the same thing. So I need, you know, it's important that people understand that I even took a little bit of time off when I first got out here to just say, let me just look at my home for a while before I pick my camera back up. And it was nice that I had did that. It's kind of rejuvenated me. And
like I see you go surfing a lot, right?
That's new. That's new. That's very new.
Like, how
how's
new?
That
like
going?
It's like, I'm gonna just use the word moderate.
Yeah, I was gonna say the water out there is actually very, very cold, isn't it? Compared to I knew
it is, but you know, we have the wetsuits, so the water isn't too bad. It's just inexperience. You know, I'm picking up being landlocked, right? Right. I still went to lakes and things like that in West Virginia, but to hit deeper barrels, you really got to go to a decent beach for that.
Yeah.
I'm just taking advantage of my location out here. I don't know if I'll ever be an expert surfer, but
You don't need to be. I think it's right. Cool. I think why not just have fun with it and do it? I was just making sure you don't get too cold, because that water out there.
Right.
So
right.
The guy that you surf with, is he a fellow Californian? The guy that was on your TikTok, I should have his name written down, but I don't.
So if you don't know who you surf with, Sam, yeah, my boy Sammy. So Sammy's actually a fashion designer, originally from Boston, and we had became really good friends through my friend who introduced me to him, and he reminded me of one of my really good fraternity brothers, Joe May, and I was like, man, you remind me of like one of my really good friends. And what do we know as we get older, when we get adults? Like, that was just me telling him that, you know, we're like, we see a lot alike. Like, you remind me of one of my good friends, is me telling you that I think we should be friends. You know what I mean? So we became really good friends, and he showed me how to surf. My goal is to at least get as good as him, and we'll be on the track.
Or better. Maybe you'll end up being better. How long has he been in California? Does he have a lot of time on you with surfing?
Sammy has lived here for about 4 or 5 years, I'd say.
Okay, so he has a couple years on you. So maybe you'll get there. I've always wanted to surf. I've only bodyboarded. I've never surfed, but maybe one day. I feel like I'll break a bone though. I'm getting too old to.
No, it's just all adrenaline. It's like, when you think about it, there's like zero danger. It's like probably more dangerous to skateboard, and you know, or there's so many other dangerous sports. There's really like no danger other than reefs on the, or just like there may be certain flatter spots on the bottom, and you don't want to take on a big wave. And then if you get wrecked by the wave and you hit the sea floor and there's rocks on the sea floor, you could definitely take some damage.
Yeah. Well, that's still exciting that you are, you know, becoming one with California. You're taking it all in. And I, that's really cool that you were able to do that, too. Like, that you were able to kind of ease back on some of your work to be able to really enjoy California. Do you think Absolutely. You'll live there for a while? Do you think that's like your forever home, or a little bit, or it's too soon to tell?
I think it's too soon to tell, just because when I look at my life, you know, one of the main reasons why I moved out here was just as simple. There was a number of reasons, but one was, why not? You know, it's like, you know, why not overthink it? I need a new chapter. I've lived in West Virginia my whole life, love it there. But I just had certain things on my agenda, and relocating was one of those, because I couldn't fathom living my whole life on this one pin on the map. There's so much so much ground to cover, you know, and this is just one of those stops. And I don't know long term, but I think I will 100% give it a year or two without lifting my head up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's exciting to move to a new place and like experience that. What did you, I meant to ask earlier, because I went to Marshall as well. What did you major in when you went to Marshall?
Biology.
That's what I thought it said. So it's completely different than what you're doing. That's really cool that you've made. What were your original, like, dreams and aspirations before this?
Good question. So here I am in high school, and my sister was a dental hygienist and at the time, and I didn't know, like, what I wanted to do or be. And it's like, geez, could you ask a more tough question than that? You know what I mean? Like, what do you want to be when you get older? Like, at the time, right, when you're in high school and they're asking you to do a senior report and you're, like, thinking about what you want to be, like, that couldn't be a tougher question at that time, right? So I went to shadow this dentist. His name was Dr. Stephen, who my sister was working for at the time. And I really liked the fact that not only was he more like a physician just in the oral cavity, but he still ran a business. Like, rather than a physician, you typically work at a hospital, but a dentist is going to have their own office, their own staff. It's very entrepreneurial, just as much as it is healthcare and professional. So I liked that about dentistry. And that was, like, my first thing where it's like, hey, I think I would like that. So, you know, I didn't apply myself too much in high school, which ended up helping me out in college because I didn't have any burnout. You know, I was like ready. I'm like, wow, I studied the first semester of college. I studied more than I did in high school as a whole. So luckily it like worked out in my favor. I felt fresh and I felt engaged. And I chose biology because that was just what I understood. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, science always made sense to me. Chemistry always made sense. I was a chemistry tutor in college. I tutored nursing chemistry. I was also a microbiology tutor in college which all nursing students have to take. And I did that to pay for my room and board as an academic mentor.
Wow. That's really amazing. And that's a big switch. Wow. So you wanted to be a dentist, and then what kind of changed?
All right. So it's my junior year, and there were several factors. And I came around to my senior year, and I wasn't sure. I didn't feel like, from freshman year to senior year, I had essentially grew up, and I didn't necessarily think that, like, being a dentist was, like, what was best for me. I felt like it was something that at the time I thought made sense. My sister was a hygienist. It was kind of like my first thing that I could say, yeah, I would like to do that. But I wasn't completely sure. And, you know, for anyone listening, I think it's very important to always go with your gut instinct, because a lot of times most people don't, and we just go with what our parents want us to do. And so I just had this feeling that, like, I was like, I don't know about this. That's all I kept saying. And that's how I felt. So right before I had finished school, my buddy Aaron had contacted me and said, hey, man, what are you planning on doing after school? And I said, I don't know. And he's like, well, that's not good. Well, I'm working at this place, and I think you would be really great. They're looking for employees. Here's the job, X, Y, and Z. And it was for a logistics company. And we essentially acquired these customers who bought and sold produce and did all this crazy import-export stuff. And I learned a lot about business. And I told my boss one day, because I'd been doing camera stuff on the side, I was like, hey, you know, I feel like I'm climbing up someone else's ladder. Like, no offense, but, like, I'm running someone else's business, like, perfectly, like, invoicing. I'm like acquiring the clients, managing the clients, and then invoicing the clients. I was like, if I figure out how to do this for my own business one day, like, I'm out of here. I didn't say it like that, but, like, that's how I truly felt. And I had worked there for 3 years, but it was awesome because that first, I'm going to use air quotes here, big boy job, put me into my, you know, my first real apartment. It gave me my independence. And, you know, I stuck with it to be valuable in the marketplace, to have real world experience. So that was my reasoning for working at that place when out of school. I needed the job, but also was great at the job, and I eventually had to quit that job to start my own biz.
That's really amazing. But, like, I feel like that's kind of like an inspirational, or like what a lot of people they need that, like, they hear you do, like, they hear that you've done it, so that will give them that extra push to maybe leave whatever job they have or whatever position. And I also think, like, growing up in West Virginia, we're only shown, like, a very small part of what we can be. And so you saw dentists, you saw doctors, you're like, oh, okay. Because, like, I always wanted to be a teacher because my mom was a teacher. I saw teachers. And then, like, when you start going to college or you start doing, you're like, oh, wait, there's actually more out there than just those professions. And right. I'm sure that's, like, everywhere. And I hate that they ask you, what do you want to be? And, like, your whole life is supposed to be planned out by the time you're 18. And, like, people change when they hit 40. So I feel like you still don't know but what you're going to lead to or go to. It's time to talk about tea.
I'm going to spill the tea.
No, I'm going to talk about the t-shirts and merch we have for sale on our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com.
Oh man, I wanted to hear some juicy gossip, but I do think our t-shirts are pretty juicy. Even though it is getting warmer outside, people can still buy our hoodies for those cool spring days.
People can also receive 15% off by using our listener code TELLINGPEOPLE found in our episode notes.
And back to our show. Jay Burke, what would you like to tell people?
I would encourage any content creator or videographer out there who's trying to make a name for themselves to always stay motivated to do what you love. And you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at jburke.mp4. And moving to Los Angeles from West Virginia has been an amazing experience. And I've met a ton of awesome people that keep me motivated to do what I love each and every day. Being a content creator has allowed me to start my own business and live as an entrepreneur just as much as a creative. And I would encourage anyone who has that itch to create content and be a content creator to do that and to follow your dreams.
Perfect. I like that. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for reaching out. It's really funny. Yeah, so the person that was supposed to be on today also reached out. So we've gotten a couple people like wanting to be on. So it's always really cool.
Hey, that's awesome. No, you all are doing. I really like what you all do as well. Like, you know, thank you all for having this available for me, and I hope it goes really far and really good for you all. I don't know like your all's end goal, but you have something going. Because a lot of people from West Virginia, I feel like, everyone needs to get their, there's a lot of awesome talent out there and people need to get their voice out, and you all are providing that platform. So,
awesome. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for being flexible. And I hope your computer issues become okay too.
Well, I should be normal again when we leave. And it's like, oh, by the way, I'm charging.
Well, hopefully for your sake.
That'd be good for your sake. That'd be great.
Look, I'm not gonna make this up. And I gotta prove this to you all. So if you all want to record this just for like non-lying purposes, I just got a new computer in the mail. Like they knocked on the door earlier.
That is so funny. And well, we could have waited for you to set that up. No,
Jane. That's funny.
Yeah. They heard you were having issues.
Right.
Well, thank you so much. Keep in touch.
Thank you. And it was nice meeting you all. Hey, real quick. So you're from Boone County?
Yes, I am.
And Rachel, you're from?
Springfield, Virginia. So D.C. area.
Okay, I haven't spent much time nor been to that area. Where do you all both reside now?
The DC area. I live in Falls Church.
I'm the interviewer. I'm not typically the interviewee. I can ask great questions.
But... Maybe you should interview us.
No one ever asks us questions.
Right.
So what question do you have?
Yeah, I guess my questions for you all is this, how did you all start doing this?
Well, I wanted to do a podcast for a very long time. And then I met Rachel and we just like one night we were just talking about like, wouldn't it be funny if people came on and talked about what they would like to tell people? And we just like kind of jokingly did that. And then it just kind of grew into a real concept and podcast. And it was pre the pandemic, but then our first season ended up being during the pandemic. So it started out with just like friends coming on and not really businesses. And then once the pandemic happened, we had to kind of like go remote, and we were able to open it up to people, you know, in California, in Honduras, in England, in like all kinds of different places. So it's been kind of fun.
Well, it's really awesome because, you know, you all, I feel like you hit it on the head, like what, like this service you all are providing for people. Everyone now more than ever has something to tell the world. And like, you, whether your platform pushes people to do that for the first time, or if it's someone that's already done it and they're just seeking more exposure, whatever it is, I feel like it's, you all are super nice, and you got like I like the colors, like the palette of your all's page, mm-hmm. like the animated, I don't know what I'm saying on all this, but just
yeah,
like,
Rachel made those.
It all looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on branding.
Yeah, my major was advertising, and I do communications.
Right, and it is very important. I think like marketing in particular is where a lot of people, and I don't know if you all want to add this part in there, maybe like towards the ending for advice, but like where a lot of people may fall short in my field and what I do is the lack of marketing experience, because when you provide like a digital product for a brand, that means nothing if it can't be marketed. And I think it's important that your business can also provide that service. Hey, here's my product, and here's how I think you should market it for your business. And I feel like as a content creator, if you can say that to somebody, you're worth gold, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's why getting new people and people from all over, I feel, is like very important, so they can share it and get new people listening and everything. So thank you again. This seems like a great time to pause and tell everyone to subscribe,
so they will be notified of our next episode.
It isn't like you have anything else to do, right?
Exactly. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Stay healthy, everyone. And now back to our show.
Hannah, what did you think about this episode?
Well, I must say, I always have to say I'm partial to, you know, a West Virginia native, but I really liked listening to Jay Burke. He is, you know, still young and moving from West Virginia to California and just like starting out. And I really think that is a brave thing to do, to move across the country and just kind of starting his business and still, you know, coming back to West Virginia and doing weddings, doing events, and just like doing his videography and all of that. And it's just like really cool to see what he's already created for brands in West Virginia. And I'm excited to see what he will, you know, create going forward. And he has videos of him learning to surf, which is kind of cool. I've always wanted to kind of do that. And that's just really, you know, fun. And I think that he just is very positive and has just like the great like personality for, you know, creating content and like working with other brands and doing his thing. And I think he's a very talented person, and I'm excited to see where he'll go from here, because he's only been in California, I think, like 3 months, which is crazy. And it's just, and then also I found it very funny that his computer battery wasn't working and he had one delivered as soon as the interview was over, because I'm like, we could have waited for you to, you know, start it, because we had a lot of issues. So like 2 weeks in a row, we've had issues, different issues, but people have had issues. So hopefully today when we do our interview, we won't have any issues. But what did you think about this episode?
I thought it was a really wonderful episode, because it also shows someone who is fresh in their career to talk to and connect with others is wonderful too, especially with three up, two up, to just start a conversation, right? And be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then they, there you have it. Now they have a content creator that's helping them and brand them too. So I thought it was really great that just by being a friendly person, by being yourself to someone, that you can make, say, that connection. And then it turned into another connection and stuff. And again, like I said, it was about not even about like, yeah, you're promoting yourself, but you're promoting you as a person. So I thought that was really awesome. And the fact that he moved all the way to California just to be like, you know what, I'm doing this, is pretty darn awesome too, because now he has even more people out there too, and he's starting a new, whole new chapter in his life, but yet still bringing West Virginia out there too, along with his own branding. So I think it's a really wonderful content creation is just wonderful in itself, because not many people actually have professionals that would love to actually care to do it. He actually cares about these people and their content and what their vision is. And it's nice to have someone like that so young that wants to continue to learn. So I think it's great. And I can't wait to see what's in store for him. And I hope surfing goes well. And watch out for a lot of those rocks out in California. There's a lot, and they're actually hidden. So please be careful and have fun.
Yeah. And I think it's really, you know, cool. I mentioned he went to Marshall, and he was originally, you know, wanting to go into like dentistry and like have his own practice. And I feel like he did a complete like 180 of what
right,
he was like originally going to do. Right. Like he was doing biology and all of that. And then he is.
It's fascinating, right? Isn't that? Yeah. That's what's really cool about life, is that like it could be you start out with one and then all of a sudden, bloop, it could be totally the opposite.
Yeah.
What I'd like to tell people is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell People.